77 WABC and Bergen Newbridge Medical Center honor the life of legendary broadcaster and our friend, Ernie Anastas.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel. Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen Newbridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130 for an appointment or newbridgehealth.org.
This episode is brought to you by Prime. Obsession is in session. And this summer, Prime Originals have everything you want. Steamy romances, irresistible love stories, and the book-to-screen favorites you've already read twice. Off Campus, Elle, Every Year After, The Love Hypothesis, Sterling Point, and more. Slow burns, second chances, chemistry you can feel through the screen. Your next obsession is waiting. Watch only on Prime.
This is the Miller Report with Suzanne Miller
on the Red Apple Podcast Network. And now, here's Suzanne Miller.
Welcome to the Miller Report. Everybody's talking about real estate, and today I have two experts on the Miller Report. I've got Umberto Lopes, who's been on before. He's going to talk as a landlord. He's one of the largest landlords in New York, in Brooklyn. He's an entrepreneur, he's a landlord, he's a manager, and he's going to talk about what's happening to him personally with the rent freezes and what's going on in New York in the real estate market. And of course, I summoned the great, wonderful John Castamatidis, who was in a meeting and he said he would come down and join us. So thank you, John. Thank you for coming. And we're going to hear from these experts about what's really happening here in the Department of Real Estate in New York, in the city that we all love. So yes. Umberto, we're going to start with you. I know that our mayor has, one of the reasons he won was because he promised a rent freeze. So it's not happened yet. It's on its way to happen. But I'm understanding from my landlords that the rent real estate taxes are going up. So if the real estate board really wants to freeze the rents, what's your opinion on maybe freezing some real estate taxes? And where are we on that? And how is this affecting you? Speak up.
Hey, let's go backwards a little bit. Property taxes have been going up for 8 years in a row. This would be the number eight. So I have buildings in Brooklyn. I have buildings everywhere. Even the smaller buildings, the three families, right? So the multifamilies last year went up 15% and we got 3% back. I lost 12% like everyone else did. This year it's going to go up 18%.
18%.
18%. And if he doesn't, and I have all proven fact, matter of fact, this is all public record. Anyone who's listening to us, you can go online and just go to the NYC finance and put in the block or the address of the property and know the property tax and what's it assessed for. So I'm going to go up 18%. If I don't get my 3%, I'm losing the whole 18% plus the 12% last year, plus 8% the year before and before. So I'm going to give you an example. I got one building, 20 family in Bay Ridge, 20 family. I was started off, I was paying 48,000. This year, it'll be 100,000.
What's the math on that? What's your rent?
My rent, $1,200, $1,500, some at $2,200. They're mixed property there because I did renovate the apartments prior to 2019. But now you made that building worth nothing, even so with some market
no
rent.
No net operating return.
Now because we have to change the roof, we have to fix the boiler, and we're constantly fixing the building. It's, you know, these are buildings that are 100 years old. You're always fixing them. And then what about the soft course, the porter, the handyman? This year was a cold winter. I spent $5,000 every 8 days to oil the building.
So wait, you made no money?
No money this year.
You made no money.
If he raises the 18%, which is the way we do it, we're fighting that, you know, with the finance department, right? That we put in a protest on it. But the oil killed us this year. And then we have now the property tax going up. And then if he freezes the rent, he already tipped the scale on that. There was 9 members. He's already got 6. And I think he's going to get 7. Once he tips the scale to favorite his side, he's going to freeze the rent. He'll do it because he's going to fudge the numbers because they're going to lie. Because if I show you my numbers, there's no profit there. Slim to nothing going on some of these buildings.
We understand that working families need a place to live and we all need the infrastructure. We need the teachers. We need the working people. They have to have a place to live. There's a crisis. But in your scenario, you're not going to put your places on the market. So what are you going to do, walk away? What are you going to do with this building?
You suffer because now you got to pray that you don't have to any more expenses on it. but the water's going to go up. The insurance is high. So you're beating a dead horse. Like it's going to get hurt. Everyone's going to hurt. All the mom and pop business and all the mom and pop owners of these properties that I would say 85% of them are mom and pops. They're not big landlords. They're not big corporations. So you're hurting them. You're hurting their future. And there's no room whatsoever. And once you add in the back in the soft course, the porter, the handyman, the management company, even if they're managing themselves, there's a loss. Why don't he, if he wants to freeze the rent, why don't you freeze the property taxes? Freeze my 18%. Go back that way. You know, stop what you're doing. But the other thing is that I don't like, and it's nothing personal, I don't like him dividing us. The tenant and landlord should be together. We should work together.
Yes.
And also what he created was now housing court is their cases are going up because a lot of people are not paying rent. I still got quite a few people with nonprofit. I mean, not nonprofit, non-payment of rent.
How long does it take to evict somebody right now?
About 2 years.
What are you seeing, John?
I see a lot of problems with the judges and what we do on our radio station. We sometimes are going to speak out and tell the judges' names. Yeah. And who is not doing their jobs. We hope that the Speaker of the City Council has a few things to say about it, Julie Menem, that the fact is that you can't raise taxes beyond the ability of people to pay. Don't forget, Standard & Poor's, S&P, and Moody's has the city by the testicles right now because they put them on the warning list.
Wow.
And last week, they tried to sell $3.5 billion of municipal bonds. And first time, they didn't sell them all. So they realize that they can't borrow money. And if the business, you know, Jamie Dimon was on television the other day, and he says businesses are moving out. And if you have businesses keep moving out, sooner or later, how did Sergeant Schultz say it on Hogan's Heroes? Machine kaput. Governor Hochul last couple weeks ago spoke out and says, come on back from Florida. Nobody is coming back. The key is to make sure nobody else moves out. And if we make it, if we force them to move out, Paul Zuber from the New York State Merchants Association, they represent 3,000 merchants. He is speaking out. Phillip, who took Kathy Wild's spot in the New York City partnership, he is speaking out that if they continue to hurt businesses and they move out, well, guess what? New York City will not be able to borrow any money because we will all make sure that Standard & Poor's and Moody's knows about it. And if you can't borrow money, then you can't spend money.
John, you have taught me, I've learned a lot from you, that a certain percentage of the state's budget comes from real estate taxes. What number was that?
The state budget, I don't remember the exact number. But the old days before what happened to real estate, what's the name, real estate board?
Real estate Board of New York.
Board of New York. Mm-hmm. It used to be a very powerful organization. They used to give almost 50% of the contributions to the state and the city. I don't know what happened to them.
Oh, Remney?
Remney.
They
disappeared. They blew up.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they're tiptoeing through the tulips. And, you know, they have a lot less respect. And they used to get 50 cents out of every dollar wow. contributed to politicians in New York City, New York State, was for Remney. Real estate industry and real estate related.
Yes.
And they used to have influence. So who is funding the politicians today?
I don't understand. I don't know what the end game is. I read this morning that a company called Emerald, they have 850 apartments in the Bronx. They paid $350 million for this building in 2016. Now it's not even worth $50 million. They can't make rent roll. They're giving it back to the city. They're going to foreclose. Who's going to buy it? A nonprofit. And who owns these nonprofits? What is the end game? If the city's not, if the city needs money and they're not collecting real estate taxes, this doesn't make sense to me.
Look, the President Trump has Jay Clayton, who's the United States Attorney in the Southern District, watching over New York. He coordinates the FBI, the DEA, and everybody. If they're intentionally doing that, then it's going to be a case for the United States Attorney to look into it. And he has his, you know, Jay Clayton is a smart guy. He has his eyes open. So he'll know about it 5 minutes after we tell him.
I feel the same way. I've been seeing that. I said that in one of my videos, that Trump is going to have to wind up stepping in, or the federal government is going to have to step in, because you are forcing too much and smashing down on the little guys that own so much of this property. And that makes the puzzle, the pieces put in. And getting back to
Well, it goes back to voting.
Oh, voting, yeah.
You know, we're trying to pass in Washington, one American, one vote. Mm-hmm. American citizen.
Yes.
Now, what happened, 70%, 75% of the Democratic voters say, yeah, that's a good idea. We should do that. 90% of Republicans, 80% of the independents. I don't know what's going on with the Democratic politicians. They don't want that. I just don't understand it. I used to be a Democrat. I was a Bill Clinton Democrat. Mm-hmm. And he had common sense. And you know, John F. Kennedy, he had common sense. Right now, what happened is the Democratic Socialist Party, who always existed, but never got more than 2% of the vote. Yes. of the vote. Guess what? They woke up this one morning and said, you know, if we take over the Democratic Party, then we have a shot at winning.
How did they do it?
And how did they do it? They had large testicles, Democrats, they went out against it. Democrats by Democrats by Democrats. You know, one of the people that lives in Manhattan, our friend, Carolyn Maloney. They used Jerry Nadler, who's my friend too, went after Carolyn Maloney.
Wow.
And they knocked her out. And then what happens? Because Jerry Nadler is Jewish, then after he knocked out Carolyn Maloney, then they knocked out him. Or then about to knock him out. So we need common sense.
But where's the money coming from, John, to knock them out?
I don't know. I had Jason Smith on from Congress, who is investigating the fact that it could be foreign money coming in, foreign money going in through some of the big names that you hear all the time, and the foreign countries are funneling the money through them, some from Europe and Asia, and some from the other side, from Asia and China. Foreign money coming in, trying to change our voting, to create chaos. When I grew up, you're not as old as me. We used to have a Superman comics, and we used to have Bizarro World.
It is Bizarro World.
To create a Bizarro World that some of these politicians are just.
But John,
crazy.
Crazy. Would you not think it's destroying American values?
Yes, they are.
Easily to destroy even realizing it?
When I grew up, I used to watch Ozzie and Harriet. I used to watch Father Knows Best.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Hollywood is going to go broke in some of the stuff they're promoting.
But I'm looking at some of this. I'm not. What I'm looking at is policies, right? The policies that are hurting everyone. They're not hurting one or two people. They're hurting 80% of New Yorkers, right? So some of these policies that are doing, even if they were radicals, even if they were socialists, right? It's also their policies that they're coming with. And that's what's hurting us. You see, I don't have nothing against Mandami. I have nothing personally against him. But it's some of his stupidity and policies that he's doing by stating rent ripoff hearings. Right off the back, You're destroying the landlords. You're making every landlord to become a slum landlord.
You know what happens? If we destroy the businesses,
yes,
eventually they destroy themselves and destroy New York City.
Yes, 100%.
When I met with the mayor a couple of weeks ago,
yeah,
and I said to him, you're a smart guy. You went to Bronx Science High School. That makes you a very smart guy. I said, right now, you're either on the edge of disaster or the edge of success. You get to pick.
And I can answer that if he continues the way he's going. I've wrote him letters. I've wrote him policies. He's not going to, he would not meet with me because I have a large social media platform. And I started back in October, Gotham Housing Alliance. The memberships and the donations are coming in and people are realizing what I'm saying.
What's your end game, Umberto?
My end game is to change a lot of things and change these policies that we can bring back these warehouse apartments.
How many are being warehoused right now, would you say?
I truly, the numbers from they're saying from 50 to 150, I'll go in the middle and say 100,000 apartments.
100,000 apartments.
I would say 100,000.
And NYCHA's not paying 50% of the rent.
You just said a good word. NYCHA's got 20,000 themselves alone.
Well, you know, the other thing, I had the person in on my radio show that runs, you know, these NYCHA type apartments. Bart Schwartz from PAL used to oversee them during the Biden administration. And I think that 30 to 40% don't pay rent.
Oh, besides the
So what do you do with the NYCHA apartments, the New York City Housing Authority for poor people that don't pay rent, what do? Put them in the streets in New York? I mean, what is the answer?
No, we subsidize them.
What is the answer?
And that is
the problem that we're not going to solve that problem today, but I think it takes additional discussion.
Did you know that St. Luke's University Health Network, based in the Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania, has been recognized by the U.S. government as the highest performing health system in the United States for quality? You heard right. St. Luke's number one recognition affirms our status as the top leader among the most respected healthcare providers in the nation, including Houston Methodist and the Mayo Clinic. To state it simply, if you want to receive the best care when you go to a hospital, come to St. Luke's.
Ready to soundtrack your summer? With Red Bull Summer All Day Play, you choose a playlist that fits your summer vibe the best. Are you a festival fanatic, a deep end DJ, a road dog, or a trail mixer? Just add a song to your chosen playlist and put your summer on track. Red Bull Summer All Day Play. Red Bull gives you wings. Visit redbull.com/brightsummerahead to learn more. See you this summer.
Girl, winter is so last season. And now spring's got you looking at pictures of tank tops with hungry eyes. Your algorithm is feeding you cutoffs. You're thirsty for the sun on your shoulders. That perfect hang on the patio sundress. Those sandals you can wear all day and all night. And you've had enough of shopping from your couch. Done hoping it looks anything like the picture when you tear open that envelope? It's time for a little in-person spring treat. It's time for a trip to Ross. Work your magic.
When you need to build up your team to handle the growing chaos at work, use Indeed Sponsored Jobs. It gives your job post the boost it needs to be seen and helps reach people with the right skills, certifications, and more. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need a hiring hero? This is a job for Indeed Sponsored Jobs.
So we're back with Umberto Lopes. John C. had to leave, but we really appreciate his input, and it was fantastic. And now we're going to continue our conversation with Umberto.
Yes.
So, Umberto, you were saying that there are how many warehouse departments?
I would say 100,000 because the number's all over the place. I would say 100 to 140 maybe. That, you know, somewhere I was looking at that statistic of how many. I think NYCHA has about 20,000 themselves. I have about 5 to 6 of them myself personally. So I know the system. I own them myself, and
so
I don't care.
If we do have an availability problem and we're holding back 100,000 apartments, what's the end game?
Listen, let me go on record here again. 4 years ago, I proposed how we can modify that law, right? Back then. And I stated that what we can do, the law, the 2019 law, which is the STPH, if I'm not mistaken.
Stabilization, the law. Okay, I understand. Not really.
I call it the 2019 because there's too many initials in my life. Okay. And I call it 2019 law. And what I came about, and what I suggested and I proposed to the state. See, people get this confused. It is not a city law. It's a state law. The state, Cuomo did that. Governor Cuomo put that as law. What he did was, for everyone to understand, was that we had all these multifamily, which is six family and above. We would go in, buy the building, renovate the apartment, $50,000, $70,000, put everything new, and bring the apartment to market value. So yeah, if the tenant moved out, was paying $1,000 or $1,200, mind you, it is a business. We have to remember this, people. Real estate's a business. Mm-hmm. We would put $80,000, $60,000, $70,000, renovate the apartment. Now we have the right to bring that apartment up for market value. So there's also what they call a legal rent and a preferential rent for the neighborhoods. So I would rent out the apartment, $2,500, $2,200, whatever it was, and that was the legal rent.
What year was that?
That was in 2019 down.
Okay.
So 2012, 13, 14.
So you're saying it changed in
2019.
Okay, so it changed during 2019, yeah. And before that you were able to bring it to market rate,
yep,
by investing how much?
Oh, you would buy the building, invest. The average apartment cost me, and I own a construction company, was anywhere from $40,000 to $60,000 for each apartment. Okay? So, like the last one I did was in Bay Ridge. That was a 20 family. I think I got like 12 apartments out of that to renovate. And I think I spent $780,000, some crazy number. Because remember, I'm doing all new electrical, all new plumbing, all new bathrooms, doors, updating everything, right? Intercom systems.
And where are we today?
So here we are today. Today, I have quite a few of them myself. I have quite a few of my members in Gotham Housing Alliance that I started. One lady has 35, 40 vacant apartments herself. She doesn't care.
Can you dumb it down for us? Because people, it's a lot of words.
Yeah, it is a lot of words.
Let me understand this. You're saying
English.
Before 2019, a landlord would buy a building at a certain price.
Yep.
There was no minimum that you could renovate.
Right.
But there was an incentive that you could spend any amount you wanted as long as you improved it.
That's right.
And you had fair market rents according to whatever the market was.
Right.
2019 comes along, and I guess you said it was Governor Cuomo.
Governor Cuomo did it.
He changed the law. That he changed the law, and that now you're locked into a certain amount that you could increase it.
$30.
$30 that you could increase your rent.
Whatever they're paying.
And how much, and is there a cap on how much you could renovate it for?
No.
So
you can spend the $60,000 again.
Right.
And that person that moved out at $1,200.
Why would he do that?
That's what it is. Why would we do that? Why? It's no longer business.
What was the advantage? Governor Cuomo was a smart man. Why would he?
He did that to win his votes, to state that we were taking too control over New York City rent rolls, you know, the rents. We were governing the rent roll and guiding the rent roll to higher rents, which was not true.
We have to fact check that, but okay.
Yeah, it was true to a certain point, mm-hmm, but the living was the thing that you went into a new apartment in the same building. Mind you, that they were saying that was paying $1,000 or $1,200 a month.
I'm sure there's more to that, Umberto.
Let's move on.
So there's politics to it. That would, I don't think he just did that just to screw landlords, but
there's votes.
But anyway, we'll fact check that later.
You can fact check it.
The fact of the matter is that now you get a cap on how much you could invest and what you could rent. No cap on what you could invest, but you can't raise the rent.
That's it.
So yeah, you're holding these apartments, hoping to do what?
Waiting for the law to change, to modify it.
So you'd rather have nothing?
Yeah.
Because of eviction problems.
Think about it. Here, let me give you a simple one. Got an apartment. The lady was paying $1,200. She moved out. I fixed the apartment. I didn't renovate it. I just updated a little bit. Some cabinets, painting, medicine chest, toilet, you know, just update a little bit. I spent $8,000. I got a $25 increase. $25 into $8,000 is... I'm not doing the math in my head right now, but 19 years before I get my full return back.
So you think it's better to keep it empty?
Of course. It's a loss.
Oh, because you can write it off your taxes.
It's just a loss. There's no need for me to go through all of that. Spend $60,000 is a bad investment.
Do you see anything on the horizon for landlords as an incentive, like maybe 485X or something on a state level?
That's on a state level
to help the landlords?
I put in 4 years ago proposals to modify that law. To say, hey, here's what I propose to do. And I'm going on record here because people are getting my ideas and they're trying to take my ideas of what I said 2 years ago, 4 years ago, and a few months ago. I stated that not using taxpayers' money, give us the one-time shot to say, hey, we'll renovate that apartment, we'll bring it up to market value, and then let it go to rent stabilize. So now the taxpayer does not spend no money fixing these apartments. Because right now, HPD has a program that they'll give the landlord $50,000 to renovate the apartment, taxpayers' money, but overseen by HPD, and the little catch that no one, only one person in these 3 years have done that is because the HPD holds the apartment for 30 years.
You have to tell my listeners what HPD is.
Department of Housing
Preservation and Development. Okay, so they're holding the you hostage that if they give you this money that you have to keep it the same for a certain amount of years. How many years?
30 years.
Oh, so why would you take the money?
There you go. That's why no one's been in that program.
I see.
These programs
so
that
your program,
do not
again,
work.
Tell me what your program is.
Here was my program. One, we're allowed to renovate the apartment, again, legally, plans,
at
permits, architects, on my own, on the landlord's cost, no taxpayers' money.
Okay.
So if that apartment in Bay Ridge or Brooklyn or in the city, that apartment right now is going for on a free market, let's say $3,000.
Okay.
We're allowed to raise it to $3,000, rent it out, then the following year, let it go to rent stabilize.
Just to make your money back
faster. Yeah. And it's a win-win
but
situation.
But how is your person going to move out after they're there for three? They're not going to move out.
Well, it depends if the person does move out and now we got that vacant apartment like
so
we do.
That's not really going to hit the market. I don't think that's really an answer.
No, it would be an answer because here's the reason why. Remember the number. I'll say 100,000 apartments right now. So let's say today we change and we modify that law. Within 3 months, all those apartments will start construction. Because part of my deal was...
People will get jobs and...
No. It's the sense of the vacant apartments now. We'll put them in the market in less than 1 year. The average right now in New York City, it's maybe 15,000 to 18,000, maybe 20,000 a year new apartments come in the market, right? Those new apartments are only very small. Let's say that we take my advice of what we're doing or my idea, right? We'll have 100, let's call it 80,000 apartments in 1 year back on the market. So if that market calls for these apartments everywhere in the five boroughs, it's a win-win situation. You flood the market.
Well,
you're going to flood it.
But you're not flooding it to help the small, the average person that needs a low apartment.
Wait. You're talking about living for free? If you're living for free, that's not going
to
happen.
I understand. But our mayor, Mamdani, wants to freeze the rent so that the working person can afford these apartments. If you're going to bring it up to value... to market value, then they still can't afford it. Because market value is $4,000 for a one bedroom.
But that's not true because you're going to have people that can afford it rent that apartment. You understand? Remember, it's like you shopping in Costco, you shopping in Walmart, right? You can pick and choose where you want to shop.
There's too many people that need apartments that cannot spend $4,000.
Right,
so I agree something has to happen. But to just make it fair market immediately and putting 100,000 apartments back on the market, fair market, which is $4,000, not $3,000 or one bedroom.
You're only talking about, what about Queens and Brooklyn and Staten Island?
It's still $4,000, $3,500. These people can't afford it. So the issue, I think, has to be, you have to come up with a program to incentivize developers have to partner with the mess. They have to partner with the average person so that it makes sense for a developer to... maybe get money, maybe get tax incentive. They have to have some incentive to build these apartments, to let them come back on the market.
No, because you see what you just said is developers. Developers already have their incentive. I develop also, right? You already have your incentive.
I'm
already
calling a developer an owner. Whether it's an owner, I'm calling, you're in the same box. Mm. A landlord is whether a developer or old landlord or a new landlord or you're building a building or you have a building, to me it's the same. You want to get your apartments on the market and you want to get money back because your taxes are going up and you're right now, nobody's building and nobody's putting their prices on the market and they're holding them back because it's an attack on the landlords. It's an attack on the developers and it's an attack on the landlords. So what could we do together so that the private sector and the public sector work together so that the landlords, whether you're a developer or you're an owner or you're a small pop or you're a major landlord, could be incentivized to build and put the places on the market.
That's what I just discussed. I tell you that this idea is perfect because when you say developers have to get 20% of, when we build the buildings, we get 20% for affordable, right? Affordable, they call it. So why do you need my tax returns? You see, when you go to those affordable apartments, you need a tax return. You need to see exactly what you're making. So it's based upon what you're making. See, that's, you can do the same thing. How about that? You know, that's a good idea. Let's do what we do to developers. I'll take those apartments, right? And now it'll be affordable apartments based upon your income. This is what they're doing now for the developers, better. Right?
I like that.
Okay, so now the developer who's got these buildings that are going up and that the state is paying for all the shit that they're paying for it, right? Their incentive is that they have 20% or 25% for affordability, right? Mm-hmm. Based upon your tax return, based upon your income.
You as the landlord, or you as the tenant?
As a tenant.
Right, okay.
Because if you're doing it for them, do it for me then. How about that? So as if I'm not developing or I'm renovating these warehouse apartments, that's a good idea. Okay, do it affordable. All right, you want to do it affordable? Based upon your income. So if you got an income of $100,000 or $50,000, that's what they do. See, that's what I don't like about some of these
things. Are you saying, Umberto, that the people that are qualifying for these apartments—
They're making $100,000.
What about—
$75,000.
What about the small person?
They're not in the building. They don't give the lotto to them. They don't get the apartment.
Wow.
So let's get reality. Let's get the bullshit out. You know, when they get bullshit, they don't get it. Simple as that. So all these big buildings all over the five boroughs are going up right now. Why are you not filling them? Why are you not filling them? Why? Because they're not affordable, right? They're, quote, that's a good name. That's a good word, right? Good word to use. Affordable. Now give me your tax returns. The average person is making 50 and they want joint.
I have news for you. These people don't really have tax returns because these people usually get cash. So the tax returns are going to show very little. So that's another game they're going to play. Yeah. So I don't think that's really going to be your answer.
That's not your tenant, though. You see, this is the thing.
The answer has to be something from the state to partner with you as an owner to make it worth your while to renovate and put it on the market. And there's got to be a simple solution. We're not going to, as John said, we could discuss that. Continue discussing.
Oh, yeah,
I don't think
100%.
We have an answer for that today, but it's obviously very clear that if there's 100,000 vacant apartments and we have an apartment shortage, we have to give you an incentive to put these apartments on the market. But you also bought the buildings for less money. So that's another thing that they're looking at because these apartments were bought for less money with a tax advantage when you bought them.
No, no. See, that's the thing. No, they were bought with the person living in there, right? They were not vacant when I bought it. They were occupied. Remember that. So I bought a building. When I buy these buildings, I buy everything
that's
in there.
What was the rent when you bought it, typical?
$1,200, $1,000.
So now, why do you think, so you bought it on that number. You bought a return on a $1,200 rent.
Yeah.
So now why should you get $4,000?
Because my taxes keep on going up. It's 8 years in a row with my property taxes. My fuel's going up. My water went up. My insurance went up. It's not feasible, that building anymore. You see? So this is what everyone forgets.
You just want it to be in tandem.
Yeah.
To your expenses going up.
Yeah. Let's balance it.
I think that's fair.
Let's balance it. So you're forgetting that I bought that building with that tenant in there. Yeah. At that number, you take that little loss, right? You take that number that balanced out. 8 years ago, that balanced out. Today, right. You buy that same building.
That's the key.
You walk away.
That's the
Nobody's
key.
Nobody's buying them.
The key is that the expenses did not went up and your rent did not go up.
Right.
And it's not gone in proper ratio.
Right.
And nobody's paying attention to that. And these are not major landlords. These are mom-pop people that put their life savings. Immigrants came here, Italians, Irish, Jewish. They bought these little buildings and they are giving them back.
They're giving them back and then the daughters and sons don't want them. They don't want them because the people that
are... It's a real crisis then. As John said, then we're going to start to have bankruptcies. We're going to have...
They're already happening.
We're going to have our bonds go down. Yeah. Our cities cannot continue.
What do we call that? A ripple effect?
Yeah.
When you hurt the mom and pop, you don't understand who you're hurting. You're hurting neighborhoods. You're hurting communities. You're hurting your stores in the downstairs, your old mom and pop stores, your delis, your pizzerias that are closing up everywhere.
We've gone too far.
It's already too far.
It's gone too far. So I appreciate you being an advocate to speak out on behalf of the landlords. And as you're a small landlord. You came here as an immigrant, right?
Yeah.
You started one by one. You don't have major skyscrapers.
Not yet. I'm going to buy them in a different state, though. Just remember, I started Gotham Housing Alliance 5 months ago for a reason. To represent and get a seat at the table. That's the problem we don't have today.
So tell us about that. What is it?
Gotham Housing Alliance is a coalition that we're doing because I have no one with a voice out there. And I don't care who they are. I'm not going to start talking about all the other agencies that have been out there for 50 years and you've done nothing right now in my eyes. And no offense to them because I know quite a few of them. I met quite a few of them. There's no voice to say, hey, enough's enough. Stop. you're hurting and you're going to destroy
it. An alliance means you want other people to join you.
I want everyone to join me. I have tenants joining me. I have landlords joining me, property owners. I have businesses joining me. These people are all starting to come to join me because the voice is a passion that I have now to change this. And this is why we have to move forward together. It's not I, it's a we. And I did this a few months ago because I saw, really, there's no one there. What a lot of people are doing in these agencies and these organizations are now sending lawsuits to Washington, D.C. after it's passed. That's a loss. When a law gets passed already, you lost already. Wait 5 years for someone to amend it, it's a loss. You've hurt so many people. And there's no voice here. There's no seat at the table to change it prior.
Well, here's our voice.
That's right.
Thank you, Umberto Lopes. Yes. And we're going to have you back on the Miller Report. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to The Miller Report with Suzanne Miller. If you like the podcast, share it with your friends and listen anytime at WABCRadio.com and download the WABC Radio app. Hit that subscribe button on all major podcast platforms. Plus, follow WABC on social, on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and X. See you next time for a new episode so you never have to wonder.
What the heck is going on here?